Up here. One thing, there's only one good thing when Susan is gone, and Russ would appreciate this, is I enjoy garlic very much, and if I was offensive to anybody this morning with the smell of garlic, I'm sorry, but I eat those things like candy, and anyways. And they say they're very healthy for you, too. Five years, 8 weeks ago, we walked into the doors here for the first time. And I was just thinking, wow, where is that time gone for us? And I remember Cher Penny was preaching that particular Sunday. And I know right after, because it was our first time here in San Carlos, and right after, I think, Jerry Anderson and Cher Penny came running to me. I was out in the back there. It's like, can you preach next week? It's like, what? I just got here. And they were the church was without a pastor during that time also. And we were filling the pulpit there for at least the first 6 months that we were here before Rich and Karen came. And it's just kind of strange, just the fact that time is gone. Where did it go? But I guess, well, time travels fast, you know, and it's like, hey, we just keep moving on and moving on. I've kind of been thinking things to teach on these next weeks coming up, and sometimes it's really hard to know just where to go. And I know so many times it's the things what God is teaching in our hearts are the best things to be able to share with others. And over the past few weeks, we've heard messages on living the reality of transformation. And that has just touched my heart big time these last 4 weeks. And I think, is the gospel transforming my life? Is it transforming my life? And as I think of this body of believers here, this church, how are we going to move together as we begin to think, okay, yeah, there's a pastor's committee out there and there are some possibilities there. But more so, what is God doing inside of us in these days, which is so much more important than what is actually happening in the physical? And I always liked that idea of the Trinity. And are we dancing with the Trinity? There's something about that always just jumps out at me. Are we enjoying the three in one in our lives? And I think, first of all, as a body of believers here, man, we need to keep focused. We need to keep that Trinity in perspective in our lives, moment by moment by moment. Are we enjoying fellowship with the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Are we enjoying that? Because when we can enjoy the Spirit of life, Spirit of God in our lives, man, all of a sudden, we can start enjoying a whole lot more. And as I think of the community of the believers, and I think, how easy is it to invest time in people's lives? I was out on the motorcycle, and I saw this gentleman. I invited him to church last night, but I don't see him here. But, you know, here he was with his dog sitting in front of his truck and just sitting there. And it's like, man, I stopped, and it's like, hey, what's going on over here? Hey, man, I'm just enjoying the peace and quiet here. I guess he didn't see all those bicycles somewhere out there. I don't know. But it took no effort for me to open my mouth and share Christ with this guy. And come to find out, he was a believer, and he just needed to get some things straightened out in his life. But an effortless thing to do is to just go and talk to somebody. Prayer was mentioned. And it was mentioned a few weeks ago how people are on a regular basis praying for each one of us. This morning, as I didn't pray for you in by name, but in generalities, praying for this congregation. And how we need to stick together and pray for one another. That is so important. So important. Because we want to be effective. We want to see the outside world seeing something different in and amongst us as San Carlos Community Church. Somebody, somewhere, probably right now, is praying for each one of us. And that is so cool to think about that, and that is happening. Somebody's praying for us. I think of partakers in the grace of God. Are we drinking deeply, deeply in the Scriptures? Is it becoming so much a part of our life that we live it? We just absolutely live it. Are we drinking the grace of God in our lives? I think of partnership. It's unbelievable when you think of partnership. Susan and I have lived by faith for almost 30 years. That is absolutely amazing in man's eyes, in our eyes. 30 years we've trusted the Lord to provide for us. And when I think of all the people that have been partnering with us over all these years, faithful, faithful, faithful people saying, yes, I believe in what you're doing. I want to be a part of God's work through you guys. Partnering together. As we went to visit Rosa and Oscar Rangel in Aconchi this past week as I went up there, and it's good to see Rob and Wendy over here. And you think of partnering. And there's a little church there in Banamichi that doesn't have a pastor right now. And yet they've gone through some hard times. And as I've talked to Rob and Oscar on the phone, and it's like, but God is doing things. God is doing things without a pastor. And yeah, there's not easy. But God can continue to do his work. Through partnering, through missionaries, through encouragement, through everything possible. Partnering together. I took Benito with me up to the River Valley this week too. So some of you have heard about him as one of our former students here. And he was sharing something very interesting with me. Have you ever heard of the guy named Chapo Guzman? That guy is the number one person here in Mexico where the police are trying to get. He is so filthy rich. He is in charge of so many drug cartels in this country and in the United States and all over the world. And Benito was telling me, you know what, Howard? The last time I was down in Sinaloa, I was visiting with his sister. And you know what? She's a believer. And a lot of his family are believers. And they had a prayer meeting for this Chapo Guzman, that he would change his life around and come back to the Lord. Apparently, this guy is a believer. He accepted Christ when he was young. He used to go to church with his mother before she died. And after she died, he just quit. Partnering together. And Benito said it was so funny because he was in this car with his sister and some of the relatives. And meanwhile, there was these not squad cars, but these other types of following just to make sure that they weren't in any danger of any sort. And finally, she on the phone, get back. I'm tired of you driving so close to me. Get back, you know. And it's like, yeah, just a totally, totally different world. And yet, you know what? Here God is using somebody like Benito to influence, to pray with some of the toughest guys here. partnershiping together. Wow. And we can all be a part of that. We can all be a part of it. This past week, I started doing a study in Psalms 23. And I didn't get very far, got into the first verse, that's it. And it's amazing. We memorize Psalm 23 when we're this high. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we memorize that. And as I began looking at that this past week, what does that mean? The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. But before I get into that, I want to tell you, I was in an interview one time, and I wasn't sure who the boss was. I was a young guy, 18, 19 years old, and I was quite concerned about where, because of the job that I was interviewing for, I was going to be running all kinds of heavy equipment, machinery, and I had some questions to ask. What is this boss's character like? What's he like? Is he a good boss? Is he a bad boss? Does he have actually enough credentials behind him to actually do the job that he's supposed to do? Because if he is hiring somebody like me to come and do a job, he better know how to teach me how to do certain things. And so I had these different questions about this boss. And just to say, I sometimes think, what about the Lord? He is my shepherd. Do we think that the Lord has enough credentials to lead us and guide us like he did David? David, a young man, back when he was leading sheep, one of the worst jobs possible during Bible times. It was a very lowly job. And his father before him raised sheep and herded sheep. And so here David was, learning all about sheep. And come to find out that sheep are very dependent on the shepherd. Totally, totally, totally. I remember as a very young teenager, some friends of ours had sheep on a farm. And man, we would get on these sheep, I'd get on these rams and just grab onto that thing and it's like, come on, let's go. Those crazy sheep, they just would not go. Boy, they were stubborn, and it's like there was no way they would go because they didn't know me. And I could beat that thing all I wanted and it wasn't going to move. So my friend, he would just call the sheep and all of a sudden their heads would perk up. Hey, I know that voice. I know that guy. And then they would come. And it's like, weird. I didn't know anything about sheep back then. But you know, as you think about sheep now, and what the scripture talks about and what David went through as a shepherd, very, very, very dependent on the shepherd. And they looked for guidance. Sheep looked for guidance. They have no idea where to go. It was so crazy. I mean, these sheep would see this big dude, you, me, coming to them, and it's like they would just kind of be petrified and they wouldn't move. And so it is in the pasture too. It's like animals can come and they hardly run because they don't know what to do. They have no guidance. They have nothing up here that seems to make them operate, function. And so David was learning these things about sheep needing guidance, where to send them, where to give the best food for them, where to find still waters, where was the safest place for them. And they needed protection also. And as we know the stories of how David killed bears, a bear and a lion, guarding sheep. And I sometimes wonder, as I thought this week, Here David is a shepherd, guarding sheep, and he must have learned an incredible amount from these animals. Because here in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he was referring to the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel. Because when he wrote Psalms, he had gone through an incredible lifetime, an incredible, incredible hard time. And so he had this incredible image of who God was, the Lord. And I sometimes wonder, what is our view of the Lord? What comes to mind when those two words come up, the Lord? What do we think about? How do we handle that? Is it something, a name that we have such total incredible respect for that it's like, wow, the Lord. And what is he? He's our shepherd. He's my shepherd. But I sometimes think, how do we abuse that word, the Lord? How do we abuse it? Has it just become a figure of speech? Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lordy. Just different things that we just say out of, just so out of context. Are we really thinking about the Lord God Almighty? And the thing is, if we don't have respect for the Lord, how in the world are we going to be effective tools in serving our community, in serving one another, partnering together? It's almost impossible because we just do it out inside of ourselves. So many Christians today are unwilling to allow our Lord, my Lord, to get involved in their lives. And it's hard to stomach. It's hard to see why. Why is it so hard to put our Lord first place in our lives and just say, take my life? When I begin to think of our Lord and you begin to think, wow, look at creation. What did he do for us to make this incredible world here for us to enjoy? He made the water here. He made the mountains around us. He created something so incredible, and yet we sometimes think, God, you are just not a part of my life, a very small part of my life. Because we just sometimes don't care enough to think, how big is God? How big is he? Our Lord. When I think of David here, he knew his Lord. He took him through so many incredible situations. I want to read something from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through to 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. Wow. That's God. That's our Creator God, who made us, who made me. What is our view of him? We need to ask ourselves that. What is our view? Last night, as I even watched the moon, how bright it was. It was just majestic. It was just amazing. It was so bright outside. It was so bright. And I enjoyed that last night, just because I could, just because God gave that Luna, that moon to us, for us to enjoy. He didn't have to, but he did. Do our hearts stir within us when we begin to think of God, how big he is? Does something happen in our hearts? Do we get goosebumps? Do we get excited? Do we? When you think of that. And you think of how deeply our Lord and Savior is concerned for each one of us. So concerned. And he wants the very, very best for us. And he wants us to grow and grow and grow in that grace that he has given for us. To just enjoy. And to enjoy that fellowship. And when I think of David here, beginning to write Psalms 23. Do you think he was talking with a little bit of pride, maybe? Do you think he was talking with a little bit of devotion and admiration? He probably was just thinking out loud, literally boasting. It's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. World, do you realize that? My neighbors, do you realize that the Lord is my shepherd? And you can just see his pride coming out and said, yes, God, how wonderful. You're mine. You gave me breath. And I want to serve you. I want to give my life to you. With pride. Can we get out there and share Christ? Can we get out there and say, the Lord is my shepherd? Can we do that? And I think when we begin to realize our relationship with him, what he has done for us, and when we begin to see the Lord, it's the Lord. He is my boss. He is my owner. He is in control of my life. This is the God that I want to give my life to and serve. I always liked it when the Pume Indians in Venezuela, when they always talked about God, it was always God, owner, boss. That's the way it was. That's how they looked at Jesus Christ. God, owner, boss. In control. When they prayed to God, it was that way all the time. Because he was the owner of their lives. He was the owner. And man, when you just begin to grasp that and see that, it's like, yes, God, you are my owner. You are boss. But the thing is, do we want that owner to take control of us? It's one thing to say that and say, Lord, okay, here's my life. But it's totally different to say, here is my life. Take control of it. Do with it as you please. And that's where so many people go wrong. They don't want to do that. They don't want to give their lives 100% to the Lord. They don't want to give 100% control. And when we don't do that, all of a sudden, our effectiveness in serving all of a sudden comes down. All of a sudden, we're not partnering the way we maybe should be. All of a sudden, we're not speaking the truth to our neighbors and friends the way we should be. We don't have that courageousness inside of us to be bold and speak the truth. And so we have to ask ourselves that question, where are we at? Where do we want to go? And the thing is, God, he wants to care for us so incredibly, just like a shepherd with his sheep. Giving, 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 giving all the time. That's his whole thrust in life, is to care for those sheep. But yeah, People, a lot of times, do not want to acknowledge Christ, the Lord. They don't want to acknowledge that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't want to acknowledge that the Maker of creation that made us as mankind desires to have a relationship, a personal relationship with us. And when you really begin to think about it, He went as far as to die for us. That blood was shed on our behalf. He paid such an incredible price for us. And sometimes I think we forget those kinds of things too. We forget what actually did happen. The price that actually was paid. His blood for us, for me, to enjoy eternal life with Him. And here we sojourn for such a short time here on this earth, 60, 70, 92 years like my dad has. Big deal. That's nothing. When we talk about eternity, when you think of so many years of affecting people, sharing the gospel with people, the outreach is just incredible. We can do so much. We can touch so many people's lives. But no, so many times, no, I can't give my all. I can't do it. I can't do it. An incredible price was paid for us. That's interesting. In the Hebrew culture, most people had servants. And servants were given the option. They could either come and be part of the family, or they would be given their freedom and they could leave. But it's interesting that if a slave decided to stay in the family, he was marked. And they would put his earlobe against the doorpost, and with a punch, they would put a hole right through it. And that slave, from then on, was marked as a free man, but he belonged to this family. Interesting. You think of what Christ did on the cross for us. He marked us by His blood on the cross. And each one of us that are believers carry that mark with us. We carry that mark with us. Well, praise the Lord that we have that mark. But you know what? That mark comes with a cost too. It comes with a cost. Christ paid incredibly for what He did on the cross. Jesus said, made it very clear with this statement, that if any man would be my disciple or follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow. That's a tough thing to say. That's a tough thing to digest. For Howard to pick up my cross every day and say, here I am, use me for your honor and for your glory. Boy, you know what? That takes guts. That takes a lot of hard work to pick up your cross every day and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that's what He desires for us to do. That's what He wants us to do. But it's encouraging, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You wonder what David was meaning when he said that. I shall not want, for I have all that I need, depends upon which translation. Do you think he was proud over there too, saying that? A very, very bold statement. I shall not want. And you know what? As he thought about that probably, as he had sheep, those sheep, if he was a good shepherd, they would say the same thing. They had everything. They had everything going for them. They had a good shepherd. They had food. They had water. They had protection. They had everything going for them. And that's the way it is with us. For us as believers, we have everything going for us. Everything. We don't have any wants, or we shouldn't have any, because God provided all those wants for us. He has given us absolutely everything that we can imagine, that we don't need nothing else. It's God plus nothing. That's pretty easy math. God plus nothing. Wow. God plus nothing. Do you remember what happened to David when he used to play the harp for Saul? Because Saul had a dark spirit in his life. And how many different times Saul would throw that spear at him to try to kill him. And later on, finally, David had to flee because Saul was so ticked off at him and he had to flee for his life. And there were so many times where he was living in caves and just running from Saul. When you think of the Apostle Paul, and you think of Silas in prison, almost beat to death, and there they were, rejoicing in the Lord. How could that be? It's impossible to think, wow, how could you have a good attitude? And the thing is, God here is not talking about I shall not want. Doesn't mean that you're going to have protection, you're going to have security in the physical things of life. That's not what he's talking about. He has provided for us every means to enjoy the life of Christ in us, in a spiritual situation, in the spiritual realms. He has given us everything possible to enjoy that. And what a privilege it is. And yeah, there's going to be times in our lives where we're going to suffer. There's nothing easy in this life at all. And when Jesus said to pick up our cross and follow him, it was going to come with suffering. It was going to come with hardship. It was going to come with all those things that as bodies we do not like to have. But he did it for us. And he gave us every means to make sure that we can keep pressing on in all those hard times in our lives. And again, it's just a matter of what we choose to do. In this world, there's going to be tribulations. Yep. And there are. But I have overcome the world, he says. He has overcome the world. And so as we are partakers in the Lord, as our shepherd, here we go. Serving the Lord. Enjoying the Lord. Tasting the Lord. And when it's all said and done, we as sheep, as Christians, can stand up proudly and boast, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you have a song, Becky?